Hour number two of Overtime Fan Run Radio. Right on the dot. How about that? Let's get Martin in here next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Martin, good evening, sir.
How you doing, Jake?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing good. Jake, do you think Tennessee can try to get back in on Deshaun Bishop now that two running backs have left?
That's going to be an interesting one because, you know, Coastal Carolina is most likely, I don't know if it's confirmed yet, but there's a lot of smoke about Jamie Chadwell taking the job at Liberty. So Jamie Chadwell's not going to be down there, and who knows who they're going to go and get. So I think that we have a shot now that we didn't have, you know, probably this time last week.
Yes, I just wondered about that.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see if we go after him and who else we're going to go after, because I think we're either going to pick up a couple of guys that are going to be incoming freshmen, or I think we're going to try to hit the transfer portal hard to try to get somebody else, you know, because we really need that big back.
Do you know how many yards to leave a key friend for this past year, this year?
Not off the top of my head, but
I will look that up for you, Martin, if I can find it.
Okay.
Martin, how about your Celtics right now?
Looking good.
Everything's looking good up there. Jason Tatum can drop 20, 30, 40.
50.
I mean,
they said he's leading for the Most Valuable Player award.
Yeah, he's got the best odds right now, and if he doesn't win it, it's going to be Luka Doncic out of Dallas. And he's a fun player to watch, too.
Martin, Khalifa Keith had 698 rushing yards this past year on 119 carries for 9 touchdowns.
Yes. And, Jake, do you think do you really think we'll go for a quarterback?
Did
he enter the transfer portal today?
I don't know if we'll go after another quarterback, Martin. And the thing is, you got Joe Milton. He knows the offense, but he just doesn't have the touch on the ball. We don't necessarily know what we have yet with Taven Jackson. I think he's going to have something to say about Nico coming in. But if you really want to be successful in the coming years, because next year we're all expecting kind of a down year compared to this past year. But I think going forward, if you want success in the long term, I think you want Nico to start day one.
Yes. I've been telling everybody by the third or fourth game next year, I look for Nico to be the starter.
I think he will be. And it might not be Virginia. It might not even be, you know, by the time we get to Florida, but when you get towards South Carolina, towards the end of September, that's a weird one, as we got them in September this year,
yeah,
or this upcoming year. But I think by South Carolina, Nico might be your starting quarterback.
I need to know. I hadn't seen next year's schedule. Watch our out-of-conference games next year.
So you got Virginia. That's going to start off the season in Nashville. You've got UConn.
Yeah, UTSA.
UTSA. That'll be an interesting one because UTSA can put up some points.
Yeah.
Who else is
Austin Peay?
Austin Peay, that's the other one.
Yep.
And UConn.
Yes. I'd like to just get Deshaun Bishop, I would.
Yeah, I mean, I just love those hometown kids. You know, we had Devron Young from Bearden, and, you know, he did what he could when he was over here. I mean, he just didn't have that much talent around him, you know, when he got here and by the time he left. But he was a fun one to watch, and we've had a few come in from the Knoxville area. Jacob Warren, you know, from Farragut High School, he's done well. You know, wish him the best in his future. I don't know if he's got another year or not, but
yes, he can come back if he wants to.
Well, that'll be good. And then we're getting, of course, tight ends galore coming in the next 2 years.
What about the kid out of Georgia, the tight end?
Ethan Davis?
No, out of a small school, out of shorter school down there in Georgia.
Russell was talking about him, and I cannot think of his name right off the top of my head.
We need another tight end for sure.
You know what we need? We need a Brock Bowers, a Jason Witten, a Kellen Winslow, somebody like that. That's what we need.
And I'll tell you what else. We need two linebackers.
We need two linebackers bad. Somebody I was actually thinking about the other day, Martin, and you'll appreciate this. You know another tight end that was really good at Tennessee that doesn't get the appreciation that he deserves? Michael Rivera. That was on
Yes, I remember him.
He was a big tight end, but he can move. And, you know, you think about that 2012 offense, just about every starter on that team went pro.
Yes.
But our defense was so bad.
What about the Wade twins? Why are you hearing on them?
I'm surprised they've not entered the portal yet. They've not entered their names in the transfer portal as of right now, but I would still expect them to put their names in the portal here within the coming weeks.
I know that one's a linebacker. More could his other brother play tight end or wide receiver?
One of them plays linebacker, and one was told he's going to be a quarterback, right?
Yes, at Kentucky.
Yeah.
So they probably moved him over to wide receiver.
Probably.
Yeah.
How big are they?
I think they're about 6'2". About 6'2". I think the linebacker's around 235, 240.
Yes. But I sure am glad since there are two running backs left, I sure am glad we got that running back out of Birmingham, Alabama.
Oh, he's going to be – hopefully he's going to be good. I said the same thing about Justin Williams-Thomas. I expected big things out of him, and, of course, he hit the transfer portal this week. And
yeah, but Justin Williams-Thomas wasn't as big as this boy is.
This is true.
Him to run between the tackles when we needed on second, on third down, 2 and 3, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sole purpose of having him there here. And
yes.
You know, that's just something that we're lacking right now. And once you get that, I mean, that might make the difference in some of these games.
Yeah, Martin, Destin Wade is 6'3", 205, and his brother is a little bit bigger, 6'4", 223, linebacker.
Yes. All right, I appreciate you, boys.
We appreciate you, Martin.
Right, bye.
Bye-bye. Martin dropping recruiting information on us.
Curious to know how he knows that much. I got the tight end that he's talking about. I looked on all of our prospects on 24/7. It doesn't even list him.
Yeah, Russell had mentioned something about him. I guess it was yesterday. But Russell was trying to figure out last year, how does Martin know everything that he knows? So the only logical conclusion that we could come up with is that Martin sits in a room with about 7 computers and 65 screens with recruiting information from every state and then the best players at each position on the other screens.
I mean, I don't doubt it.
I mean,
he's the recruiting guru.
He is. He knows.
Hey, Martin knows his recruiting.
He does. He always comes through and gives us great recruiting knowledge.
And it's not just football, but it's basketball. And he's really good with women's basketball recruiting as well.
Yeah. Kind of curious on I would just like to know how he knows all this stuff.
Oh. You're watching.
Please don't bring them up, man. I really don't want to talk about these losers.
It's just a fake ring. That's all it is.
Like Zaza on the back with the whatever country flag that is.
Is that Georgia?
No clue.
Maybe where he's from.
That's one thing about basketball. Global.
It's very global.
It is.
It's overseas one time, and there was a basketball court. It was just like, I mean, basketball, I would say basketball and soccer are probably your two most international sports.
Requires the least amount of money to play. You don't have to have any special equipment.
And also basketball, you don't need another person to play.
You can just go out and shoot.
Yep. Football, you need somebody to throw to. I guess lacrosse, you can throw it against a wall. Same with tennis, but
Tennis, you got to have two.
Yeah, unless you're just on a hitting machine.
I hate those things.
Get a hitting partner. I saw this guy, you know, you already know this, but there's people that like pay you to literally just hit the ball to you.
Yeah.
Not tell you, give you instruction, just hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hit it back to him. There's this guy, this guy was terrible. The hitting partner, he was just hitting it to him, and this guy was hitting it off the court, over the court, into the net. Like, yeah, man, you need some lessons, not just a hitting partner.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about a sport like that is you almost have to have lessons.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of the most difficult sports to just pick up and play.
It's more mental than it is really anything. Like, people don't realize that about tennis. It's more about mentals than it is about physical ability. Now, granted, you have to be athletic to play.
Same with golf.
Yeah,
golf is more mental, I feel like.
Tennis and golf, the two most mentally I guess, challenging sports.
The two biggest sports where you can get in your own head and it affects the rest of your game.
You can do that with basketball, too.
You can do that with basketball.
Or really any sport.
You can do it with any sport, but...
I mean, I had the worst mental collapse of my life on a tennis court once. So the way they played in high school, you know, you see, like, Wimbledon or whatever, and you play a set. You know, obviously the game, you know, 15, 30, 40, 45, you know, game. Of course, you win six games in a set, right?
Yes.
To win.
Yep.
In high school in Tennessee, you play what's called a pro set. You played eight. I was up 7-0 on this guy, just waxing him. And I slacked off. I was like, okay, this is going to be an easy win. Nope. Guy goes, starts coming back. Score 7-1. Real quick, it became 7-3. It became 7-5, and I lost it. Like, I could not serve the ball, couldn't return the ball. Eventually, I ended up losing 9-7 because you have to win by two.
You lost nine straight sets?
Yeah. To a guy that I was far better than. It's all good.
Yeah.
Saw him in the district tournament.
Get your
I won 6-0, 6-0.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That happened today in pickleball. We're up, you got a 9.
Yeah.
We're up 7-0. And this guy just made a furious comeback. We're playing duos. His partner was terrible. And he scored like 6 straight to make it 7-6. And then, you know, he just had to shut the door on him.
That's what you got to do.
It's kind of, Reggie Miller said, you know, you kind of let the bad teams hang around to the fourth quarter and then you just kick it on.
Well, it's kind of like we let Georgia State stay around too long.
Yep.
And BYU.
There's been some really bad ones in golf that we've seen. Sergio at the Masters.
Who was it that literally, like, moved the ball with his own hand and, like, thought he wouldn't get seen?
I remember that. I can't tell you who it is.
I cannot tell you
who it
is.
Wasn't it Phil Mickelson?
It wasn't Phil.
I don't think it was Phil, but I remember what you're talking about. He literally moved the ball.
He picked the ball up and put it in another spot and didn't think it would notice it.
It's like, yeah, there's, like, 7 cameras on you. No, nobody's going to notice that.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues. A really good point just a few seconds ago. Every time that Giannis dribbles the ball, he either carries or walks every time he goes to dribble the ball.
Every NBA player does it.
Yeah, so does 99.8% of the league.
Yep.
And it's never called.
Just like holding in football.
You'd call holding on every play.
You'd call moving screen in basketball if you really wanted to, like every play.
These kids get away with a lot. Well, these are grown men, but
I mean, you saw the Warriors Mavs game. There was 10 called travels, 10,
and about 9 of those were valid.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's like kind of think about it. That game at Georgia this year, we had more than what was it? The official count 7.
Yeah,
we had more than 7. Man, we were like, I think that just got gave us pity. I mean. Getting our ass kicked.
In the rain. They wanted to get out of there just as much as the players did.
Yeah. That's going to be a game. That game is going to haunt me more than – I think about that game more than I think about South Carolina, honestly.
South Carolina, I'm just trying to block it out.
Because if we had beat Georgia and we had lost to South Carolina, we'd still be in the playoff, I would assume.
Do you actually believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, with that resume, you would have to be. Here we are talking hypotheticals because it actually did not happen.
And now we're so depressed that we can't even blink.
Fun fact, almost ran over Heupel today. It's an accident. He did not have the right of way, I will say.
You would have been the most hated man.
Well, first of all, so you know, right, the street from right across. You got Pratt, and then you got Anderson Training Facility.
Right.
They've got that crosswalk. Yep. We had the green light and the arrow going left. And so all of a sudden, it's like me and three other cars. I'm like, it's one car in front of me. I'm in the middle, and there's a car behind me. So we're all turning to go left. And I see out of the corner of my eye, before I make the turn, I see a guy walking across the street with a black UT quarter zip on and a Tennessee backpack. And I was like, I didn't know who it was. And then once I got close, he just like stopped in the middle of the road and was just like staring at us as we went by. I was like, oh, thank God he didn't keep walking. But that wouldn't have been any of our car's faults. We had the right of way. His thing said stop, the crosswalk. So, but I mean, you are hypo.
You realize we would have had to have put you up in your apartment.
Yeah, locked me away. I would have moved. I would have done it. If I would have hurt, or I wouldn't, I don't think I would have killed him because I was going maybe 5 miles an hour. But if I'd hurt him, yeah, that would have been a pretty bad situation. But
now I can't get this image out of my head of your car just sitting there in the middle of the road, you throwing a fit, Heupel sitting there just sprawled out, whether he's hurt or not.
Just on the road, just laid out like Patrick the Star.
Yes.
I guess, I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, imagine that headline. Local Knoxville radio host, Davis Rangy of Overtime, hosted by Jake Miller.
No, it didn't, because there was, I think it was, I don't know if it was that Arian Carter guy, but it was like some family there, you know, that they're obviously a recruit. They're also,
you just lost us a recruit.
No, I didn't lose a recruit, man. He'll probably come here. They were happy when I saw him.
Well, they weren't happy when you killed him.
Well, they weren't anywhere near the road. They were on the sidewalk where they're supposed to be. Heupel's just strolling across the middle of the road when we have the right of way.
Hey, let's be honest here. Were you really going 5 miles an hour?
I was, because there was a car in front of me. We were at a red light. I don't know why he didn't cross then, but then when it turned green, when we started to turn, he just starts to walk out on the road and like...
Just a limp Josh Heupel sprawled out like Patrick Starr.
Davis just drops to his knees. Why God?
Why God? Why?
that will always be a funny moment in my life.
What, you were with him?
No, not today. Not today. But the why God why.
Just a weird. It was about 11:25 this morning. I think he was coming from his car because they park over there next to Anderson Training Facility. I guess he was coming back from somewhere. Because I wouldn't imagine they'd be practicing right now. I think they have the week off. I would assume, right?
Maybe.
I mean, what are you practicing for right now? Maybe lifting in the morning and stuff.
Probably doing workouts and stuff right now. They're not watching film on anybody right now. We don't know who we're playing yet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they'll go home for a few days for Christmas, and then they'll come back and start the bowl prep.
But, I mean, now that we've played this scenario into our heads, I'm really wanting to play Ohio State.
So do I.
I would love that matchup.
I really wish Hooker was playing if we were playing them. Hooker and C.J. Stroud. Because if Caleb Williams loses tonight,
he's not winning the Heisman.
I don't think he wins it. But his odds right now are like minus 2,800 to win the Heisman. So
of course it is.
They've pretty much like decided that he's going to be your Heisman winner.
They have decided that.
But what happens if he craps the bed tonight?
Well, much like the College Football Playoff Committee, different criteria is going to apply and the narrative is going to change.
I think they're playing this game at Allegiant Stadium. The Raiders play, I believe. So it is kind of neutral field, at least.
Did not know that.
I might pull up those highlights from their game earlier this year. UCSC.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
43-42 was the final, correct? It was a two-point conversion that Utah had?
Yeah, I watched the end of that game.
Yep.
I knew that USC was going to lose. But I sadly don't think they will lose tonight.
And I don't think TCU loses tomorrow, if I'm being honest here.
I mean, for our scenario to play out, we almost want all of them to win.
Yeah, because what?
We want Michigan. No, I don't. How does that scenario? Because Clemson would have to lose to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Because if Michigan somehow loses tomorrow, I think Ohio State sneaks in.
They do.
And if USC loses tonight, Ohio State definitely sneaks in.
Yeah, yes.
So I don't know. There's just so many different scenarios. If TCU loses, I think they're out.
What in the world is going on with our bets? I took Charlotte at minus 6.5. There are 7 minutes left in the first half. They are down 37-16 to Appalachian State.
I mean, Appalachian State's just one of those teams. It's a gritty team.
Well, I don't even know. Is this, are they playing the championship for football, or is this basketball?
It's basketball.
App State basketball is hot ass. They're terrible.
They are literally ranked 212 in KenPom.
Out of 363, producer Matthew, is that a good basketball team to you?
Hey, man.
Yeah. In the Sun Belt or whatever they're in?
They're in the Sun Belt.
They are, yeah.
Well.
Sometimes it's your day, sometimes it's not.
Wow, Matthew. Did you really figure that out yourself?
No, nah, actually, I did not.
Is it ever our day, betting-wise? I mean, that's like, it's a curse. It's God sending you a message, man. It's like last night, so Luka, 30 points, 6 rebounds, and 8 assists. He had 38, 5 rebounds, and 9 assists.
It's like the Nikola Jokic. All you gotta do is get a triple-double. 9 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists.
9, 9, and 9. I mean, you can't make this up.
9, 9, 9. Jobs, jobs, jobs. Can you tell me who said that?
No.
No.
I don't watch movies like that.
It wasn't a movie.
It's a TV show?
No.
It's a song?
No, it was a presidential candidate that said this.
Wait, what?
9, 9, 9. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Probably George Bush.
Nope.
George W. Bush.
Nope.
Al Gore.
Ronald Reagan.
Al Gore.
Nope.
Ronald Reagan.
Nope.
Henry Taft.
Who?
The guy that got stuck in the bathtub.
Bill Clinton?
No.
George Washington.
It's from this past decade.
Okay, so Obama. Obama?
Nope.
Mitt Romney?
Nope.
Mitt Romney was on the president, man.
Presidential candidate.
Oh, you said candidate. I don't know. You said.
What was the other?
Sarah Palin.
This person did not win the primary.
Bernie Sanders?
No.
Sarah Palin?
Republican Party.
Marco Rubio?
No.
Ted Cruz?
No.
Ben Carson?
No.
Jeb Bush?
Maybe not this. It might have been 2008.
I have no idea who the candidates were at that point.
I know Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama. That's all I know.
Herman Cain.
Who? Yeah, exactly. Who is that?
He has since passed away.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Who's the other? Oh, yeah, John McCain passed away.
Yeah, that's what I asked you. I was thinking of John McCain. Couldn't think of his name.
Poor Jeb Bush. That guy got the worst of it from Donald Trump in 2016.
Trump was owning him.
Trump was owning everyone in 2016.
No, the worst thing that Jeb Bush did was when he looked at that kid and gave him a turtle. And the kid's like, what does this mean? I mean, slow and steady wins the race, and that's why I'm going to win the nomination.
Jeb Bush? No,
I don't know. It's not funny to me because I didn't see
I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the primaries. I just saw those two candidates at the end of the day. And
I knew who I was going for.
Yep.
Yep. I won that one.
Yep. And then got to 20, whatever year it was, and Biden was elected. And watched
2020.
Watched that.
Top 5 Phil moment of all time. We were talking about fake presidents.
I remember that.
In movies. And he calls in. What do you say, W? How you Bear Bryant and Jake the Snake doing? And then all of a sudden, it shifts. He's like, hey, y'all talking about fake presidents. Which one's best? Oh, yeah, Phil. Well, the one we got in office right now. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Christmas, the only Christmas for me, where the love circles around us like the gifts beneath our tree. Well, I know there's more snow up in Colorado than my roof.
Fan Run Radio Overtime continues, and back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Tommy is next. What do you say, Tommy? Tommy!
Are you in Boston or not?
Pretty good, pretty good.
I hear you talking about politics, president. Pretty cool, aren't it?
Is this really Tommy, or is this this Phil calling from the drunk tank?
Yeah, it's me, bub.
What's up?
How y'all been, man? I ain't got to talk to y'all since right before Thanksgiving break.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking about that. I'm like, man, Tommy's not called in a minute.
Yeah, I've been listening, man. I've been busy. I've got a bunch of housework been going on, a bunch of vehicles showing up. I've been listening. Man, I just kind of been bummed out on college football, you know, since South Carolina.
It's been hard to watch.
Yeah, Vanderbilt kind of gave us something, and I was hoping, you know, Joe Milton show us something different. But, you know, besides the long pass to Jalen Hyatt there, he kind of looked the same, man. I'm kind of iffy on who we get in a bowl game.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we just thought of the scenario where it could possibly play out to where Tennessee plays Ohio State should Clemson lose to North Carolina. And I think that everybody would take that. Everybody could get up and get excited about that. But, you know, we're just got to wait and see because weird stuff happens on Championship Saturday.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, TCU's got to play Kansas State. And Kansas State ain't no pushover. They had them beat earlier in the year, and they kind of choked it away. You know, TCU come up a lot of games in their season with, you know, kind of last-minute wins, you know, especially that win they had at Baylor. No timeouts, run field goal kicker out there and just snapped the ball and kicked it.
Yeah, and that was weird on Baylor, Dave Aranda, Baylor's coach's part. Like, just terrible game management.
Yeah,
from that perspective. Yeah.
And like I said, no Michigan, no Illinois had them on the ropes and kind of choked that win away. They had the game and they just kind of choked it away. But you know, I've kind of been out. I'm trying to get into basketball. I watched the Battle for Atlantis. They look pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is the defense looks good. We just got to
– offense has to come along.
Yeah, they got to put the ball in the basket.
Didn't they say we had the number one defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I'm gonna watch the USC game tonight. And I'm gonna watch the football, but I'm just kind of not – you know, I'm not there. I stay busy in the shop and, you know, listen to Fan Run. But – real quick, Jake, I know y'all up against it. Y'all got some more folks. Get in here.
Take your time.
I'm gonna do some turning left.
All righty.
I know it's all season. I know Dave and them could care less, but we're going to do it anyway. How about that?
Let's do it.
All right. So, it was about a week ago. I seen somebody put out there 100 laps at Martinsville, all three drivers in their prime. You have Jimmy Johnson, you have Richard Petty, and you have Dale Earnhardt. 100-lap race in their prime with equal cars. Who's winning that race?
Dale Earnhardt.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy one. Dale Earnhardt's going to win that.
Yeah, because he's gonna move you.
Yeah. Not just move you. He will wreck you.
Yeah. I was at Bristol when he wrecked Tony or Terry Labonte.
What a cloud of smoke that was.
Yeah. So, yeah. But with everything going on with the offseason there, trying to figure out who in the world is going to sponsor the 8 car with Kyle Busch. And I think that's going to be a pretty good little car. You know, I think that, you know, with Reddick leaving going to 2311, I still think that 8 car at Richard Childress is going to be something to contend with this offseason.
Yeah, I just wish they'd let him have the old number 8 font and Teresa Earnhardt would just disappear. That'd be nice.
If she'd disappear, it'd be great for everybody. But you see what Trackhouse done, you know, with the Coca-Cola font. They just put the little swish inside the one there, and it wasn't the same. So that's kind of a big middle finger to her and all her entitlement that she doesn't deserve.
Right. I mean, that's the thing about her, man, is she has she's had an influence on the sport that she shouldn't have, and the reason that Chip Ganassi bought her out of the Earnhardt Ganassi Racing partnership was because she was so absent, she literally contributed nothing.
Yeah, she was just absent until something come up relevant, and then she tried to stick her nose in it. But real quick, transfer portal, we gotta get us some a good running back. I mean, I'm loving Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, and Dylan Sampson. I think he's the most underrated running back we have.
That's pretty accurate there. Now, as far as the running backs go, we're going to have to get a big running back, like a big power back that can hit the hole hard.
Kavassier, yeah. Smoke.
Yep.
Is Smoke hitting the transfer portal?
Oh, yeah, he entered yesterday.
Oh, I see. I'm behind there. Yeah, let's get him to Knoxville. And, boys, whoever we play in the bowl games, I'm not sure who it is. I don't care. I want it to be somebody that we can run the ball against and have a game kind of like Vanderbilt, you know. I don't want to have a without Hooker out there, no disrespect to Milton, but he just throws the ball too hard on the short routes, and he's just inaccurate. And maybe Hendon sits him down over this past week, and they go over some stuff and try to help him. But I just want a defensive line that we can run the ball up the middle against, you know, and make some progress.
Absolutely. And, Tommy, with the whole Joe Milton thing, I mean, you know, if he goes to the NFL, you know, a lot of the times those receivers are going to be able to catch the passes that he's throwing. You try to throw that ball 100 miles an hour at Squirrel White, you're going to break his ribs. And I compared it to being a firearms instructor in the Army. You know, when you get somebody in that's so far along with what they know or what they think they know, it is so hard to break old habits that the new guy coming in that doesn't necessarily have any experience at this level or whatever, you're able to coach them. You're able to teach them. And that's the weird thing about the Army is when you're going through marksmanship training and basic training, your guys that have never shot before are more likely to succeed in that than guys that have been, you know, around guns their entire life.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah, I agree completely. But I'm just afraid Alabama's going to get up in this playoff, and that's just going to be a big kick in the nuts to us. You know, we already got LSU playing Georgia, and that's going to be a slobber fest. I mean, Georgia's going to do Georgia, and I just don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, Tommy, we're actually watching the Bama and Tennessee highlights from this year, and it's just going to feel like it's all for nothing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the first time we beat Florida and Bama in the first year, and we're still sitting outside the playoffs and outside of the Sugar Bowl, possibly. And then our Heisman quarterback, you know, he should have had the Heisman wrapped up, and now he's injured. And he's not even going to get the invite to New York. And, you know, it sucks.
It does. And, Tommy, I got a question for you before you run.
All right, fire off, bud.
Is it really that important to get your tires rotated on your car?
Yes. About every other oil change, go ahead and rotate your tires.
How often, Mr. Tommy?
Well, most time I run 3,000 to 5,000, depending on what kind of oil you're running. But, yes, about every other oil change, I go ahead and rotate my tires.
Thank you. Thank you for that excellent information.
Tommy, if I told you that I had a car where I haven't changed the oil in about 100,000 miles, what would you say to me? Just let it keep going? You're better off just keeping it with the
same. I can't say what I say to you on this right here. I have to call you.
What if I told you I haven't had my tires rotated in 11 months?
Okay, mine was a old car that I had. It was like my first car. This is your
no,
car.
No. I take that back. Six months.
It don't matter if it's an old car or a new car. They all run the same. Let's keep the oil changed in. Let's check the fluids. I'm sitting there looking at F-150 right now. I'm putting the radiator in. And I got to change the oil in it, and I've got to rotate the tires.
Thank you, Tommy. Thank you. Because I'm getting my car serviced, and we had an argument that rotating tires was not important to your car. So,
depends.
No, they're very important. You got to think of the weight and the load management that your front tires carry on, whether it's a pickup or a SUV or a small sedan. The front tires carry more weight over a longer period of time than the rear, so they're going to wear more. So we need to rotate them to keep the tire wear even.
Thank you.
Makes sense. But, Tommy, I really did. My first car I ever had, I got the oil changed like the first 3,000 miles because I wanted to be responsible. Tommy, I didn't change the oil in that thing for 100,000 miles. I took it in for an oil change, and it was my buddy that was working the shop, and he was like, "Jake, you just need to let this thing keep going until it quits because there's no point in changing the oil now."
Yeah, I mean, because if you don't, the old oil breaks down, your seals go bad, you're going to have to replace the oil pan gaskets, oil filter base gaskets, everything gets dry rotted because you're not running the viscosity of the oil that it needs. And so that's a big word for me.
Viscosity.
Yeah. About every other oil change, not every oil change, but every other oil change, rotate your tires. Check the air pressure in them, especially since it's getting colder weather. Go ahead and check your air pressure in your tires. Make sure everything's going to be up to par, because if not, you're going to have the uneven wear, and you're going to end up wasting good money on tires.
That is the most useful information that has been put across these airwaves all day. I appreciate that.
Can I ask you another question before you have to go? So this might be a stupid question, but if your car does not have sensors that shows you your PSI and your tires, what is the best way to check them?
There is a – on the side of your tire, the outside of the tread.
Yeah.
You can see the recommended PSI for the tires. Most tires run 35, 36 pounds. I run 36 pounds in mine. But like I said, with temperatures in Tennessee fluctuating from hot to cold, it will affect the air pressure in your tire. You can look on the sidewall of your tire, and it'll tell you the recommended PSI for it.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. And that's a mechanic talk on, talk sports here.
We appreciate it.
It was useful information. It's more useful than anything that we have put out today.
Yeah, I hear you. Man, I just want to get in here and holler at you. I've been wanting to holler at y'all and talk a little sports. Like I said, been out on football and everything. Just kind of been a little depressed and just kind of watching behind the scenes. But I want to get here and talk to my boys and make sure y'all are doing good. Hope y'all had a great holiday weekend.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the call, Tommy.
Yes, sir.
Stay with us. Overtime continues. Final segment coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of Overtime, Fan Run Radio. What are we going to talk about for 15 more minutes?
Desmond Bane is the best player on the Grizzlies?
No, we only got 8. There's Desmond Bane. Let's talk Desmond Bane.
I don't know. I mean, we had, when Tommy's on the phone, we had the Alabama highlights on, but I just couldn't stomach it, man. Just, when we're talking about Alabama sneaking in, and we're not, just I can't watch it.
If that were to happen, I would be sick to my stomach.
I mean, I was sick to my stomach thinking about it. That's why I turned it off, because it just pissed me off so bad. I'm like, why do this to myself?
I wouldn't watch the playoff at that point.
No, because we've known for years that the people behind the scenes are politicking, and people can say, oh, well, they're not biased. They're not biased. Yes, they are 100% biased. Everyone knows that they are biased.
Should have just played that 10-minute clip of those highlights just put on the projector in front of that entire committee. Just watch it.
Jalen Hyatt just torching him.
Just watch it.
5 touchdowns. Hendon Hooker, the incredible day he had. And the 2 plays that set us up for the game-winning field goal.
Did we peak that day? Yes. I think you could argue we could.
Kentucky.
Nah. I don't know. I wouldn't consider that peak. I would just say we actually decided to play against Kentucky after they went.
I mean, that was just dominance in that game is what that was.
Well, dude, after they went on their first drive or whatever and they missed the extra point to make it 7-6, we just like, all right, we're going to turn it on. And they didn't stand a chance after that. So that was a fun game, though. I would say that was my second favorite game this year besides Alabama to be at.
It's just – it feels like it was all for nothing.
I mean.
Now, granted, yes, we were all preaching 9-3, 10-2 to start the year.
I said 8-4 because I wanted 10-2 really, really bad, but I didn't think we would get it.
But like we've said, expectations change.
That they do. I mean, the one thing that I've preached all year is what? You look only to the past or the present, you're certain to miss the future.
Who said that?
Makarov or someone in Call of Duty?
was not Makarov.
Plato?
No, was it...
it was JFK.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it isn't Call
I don't think he actually said it, like, in real life. That's the thing, is
he
I don't
wrote
think...
it?
No.
Why do they give JFK credit?
JFK didn't get the credit. It's just the JFK character in Call of Duty, from Black Ops 1.
When they're what, in the meeting room?
Yeah, it was him, Fidel Castro, secretary.
Yep.
It's like Makarov.
That ending to that campaign was mid.
Hell nah. Tripping.
No, that was great.
The campaign was great. I said the ending was mid.
The ending of the campaign?
Yeah, I mean...
It's like you kill Dragovich, you get back up on the boat, and you see the numbers.
I'm talking about this.
You're talking about the entering of the zombie scene.
He's talking about this Modern Warfare 2, the one that just came out.
This year's Call of Duty's end of campaign.
Yeah, it's like the story doesn't end.
Hey, exactly. It's a lead up to the next one, man.
Which we're going to have to wait 2 years for.
Yep.
Don't care. I'll still play it.
I mean, just give me another Black Ops game.
Give me Black Ops 2.
Yeah.
Black Ops 2... I never played the Modern Warfare. I didn't play Modern Warfare 2 or 3, but Black Ops 2 was the best game I played.
I will say the...
you know what's funny? The invasion of Panama. You know who led that?
My history is failing me today.
General Carl Wade Steiner.
That's Scott Steiner's, like, uncle?
No.
Oh.
Actually, there is a Scott Steiner that is his nephew, I think. Yes.
But not the one.
Not Big Papa Pump.
Yeah.
No. But, no. Campbell County guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
A lot of weird ties to that place, man.
Was that the Bay of Pigs? Or what it was called?
No, that was Cuba.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah.
The failed invasion. The Bay of Pigs.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I will say, though, my prediction in the beginning of the year, 8-4, was losing to, obviously, the Big Three. And then we lose a game that we're not supposed to.
Like LSU or Pitt?
No, I was talking about South Carolina.
Well, we did lose a game that we
weren't. Yeah, exactly. We did lose a game we weren't supposed to. We beat the teams. I mean, we outperformed, man. Really did. But it's just depressing to think about, and I won't get over this for a long, long time. It's just like I still think about 2015. I think more about that 2015 team than I do that 2016 team.
Well, because the 2015 team...
was better.
It was better. They had more talent. They very well could have done a lot more with what they had. I mean, you got to think that team was, I think, 17 points away from being undefeated.
It's like, I felt like the 2015 team just had, like, more depth. You know what I mean?
Well, they had more talent because a lot of those guys were Dooley's guys.
Yeah, like, in 2016, I felt like we saw the main stars. You had Josh Dobbs, Alvin Kamara, Jalen Hurd, Josh Malone.
Then the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that was terrible. But, I mean, you saw Derek Barnett. But did Preston Williams, did he transfer out after 2015 or after 2016?
No, it was in the middle of 2016. He just left the team.
Yeah, so we, like, just stupid stuff like that. I mean, Jalen Hurd just decided to quit. You know, I mean, we played him.
Shy Tuttle fell on a helmet, and that's the truth.
We literally played Jalen Hurd in the Georgia game with a concussion. People forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a fireable offense right there, playing a player with a concussion.
We should have just fired him for cause.
Yep.
But what did we do? We waited a year too long. But had that not happened, we wouldn't have what we have today.
I don't know. Well, we should have fired him after the Vandy game in 2016. I was done then.
That was probably the maddest I'd been at a coach.
So pissed, man.
Because, I mean, the thing with Pruitt is it sucked, but it never got to the point where – he was going to basically just throw away a Sugar Bowl and a trip to Atlanta. And that's what Butch Jones did.
I mean, Atlanta was out of the case by the time he played Vandy, but we still had a shot at the Sugar Bowl. And
right.
We would have had a...
Which you don't lose to South Carolina, you don't have to worry about that either.
Exactly. But even after losing to South Carolina, you still had a chance to play for the Sugar Bowl. And it's just really eerie how similar that... the end of that year was in this year, but we didn't make the same mistake twice this time. We beat Vanderbilt, we took care of business, and you pretty much, barring a miracle by LSU tomorrow night, secured yourself into your sixth bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you just got to quote Russell, the same quote that he uses five times a day, look forward, as Jeremy Pruitt would say. Maybe we should impersonate the drive more. Starting Monday, I want you to have a top six at six and a top seven at seven ready.
That's going to take a while.
You do the top six at six. Matthew, you're doing the top seven at seven.
You can reuse the things I say in the top six at six, by the way.
You can reuse number one. You cannot reuse the others. You know, and you better have me a damn good kicker for number seven. It better be funny.
Yeah, you have to have something weird, like off the wall. Because, like, I've always wondered how, like, you find those stories. You just, like, when you were doing the drive, you just Google, like, weird stuff that happened today.
Yeah.
Weird stories.
Yeah, I had a good one. And Russell took it and used it for the docket. It was a it was a woman in Corbin, Kentucky.
The sex toys?
Yes.
Yeah.
She borrowed a sex toy from her cousin and then proceeded to stab him over it.
Nice.
Typical Kentucky.
Yeah, back to the coal mines.
Corbin, Kentucky.
Surprised it wasn't in Ohio, man.
Yeah, only in Ohio.
Yep.
Florida man.
Yeah, that's a... I guess I'll do that one.
Yep, you get the top seven at seven. You get the top six at six. We do not have music for it because I'm pretty sure Russell has that file hid away. But I'll just sit here the whole time. Meow, meow.
I don't know. What's going on right now?
The top four at four and the top five at five music.
It's not what it sounds like at all.
Actually, we
pull it up right now.
No, we could just say this. We could just use this music. I can find an hour-long version of this song, and that's what's going to be the music for it. Oh, man, that's going to do it for us. Thank you, Davis.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Something else coming up next here on WKGN. Tune in Monday for Three and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.